Hey, kids. Yeah, it's me, your old pal Stu. Here once again on a Wednesday evening to get you properly ready for both kinds of music. Yes, decongestant and antihistamine. Yeah, you'll need them both tonight. Oh, it's that time of year. Yeah. Twang Trust, that's the show. Yep. Two solid hours of whatever the heck comes out of my two little boxes here. And guess what? Special guests today. Yes, we have two special guests coming in for the second hour. Mr. Jackson Haldane and Ms. Rami Mays. They're going to tell you about something very exciting happening this weekend. But first, we've got a bit of this. Yeah.
In Texas, well, my second natural home. You tip your hat to the ladies and the rose of San Antonio. I grew up on music they call Western Swing. It don't matter who's in Austin, Bob Wills is still the king. I can't still remember the way things were back then. And in spite of all the hard times, I'd live it all again. Just to hear the Texas Playboy Tommy Duncan sing makes me proud to be from Texas, where Bob Wills is still the king. The Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee. It's the home of country music, that much we can agree. Well, when you cross that big old river, hearts, it just don't mean a thing. Cause once you're down in Texas, Bob Wills is still the king. If you ain't never been there, well then I guess you ain't been told that you just can't live in Texas unless you got a lot of soul. It's the home of Willie Nelson, the home of Western Swing. He'll be the first to tell you Bob Wills is still the king. Thank you for coming down to this little cluster lunch in memory of Waylon Jennings, one of my all-time heroes, dreaming my dreams. On the drum, we got Tim Mooney. Thank you for joining us with Studio 10 and being such a wonderful host. Mark Pistol on the bass. Nate on the keyboard, Max Butler taking us to school and taking us to church at the same time. J.J. Weisler, the chairman of the board. John Murray on the guitar. Let's not forget Tim and Arthur and Robbie and all the fellas that drop by. Stephanie Fish, let's hear for the Stephanie Fish. Bring a little bit of a feminine perspective to the party. Uh-huh. We miss you, Waylon. We wish you could be here. We'll catch up with you somewhere down the road. Alright. Let's go get something to eat.
Hey, this is Chuck Prophet, and you're downtown and underground with the Twang Trust on CKUW 95.9 FM.
Woo! Hey, Chuck Prophet there from his other brand new album. Yeah, he's got that thing out on Yep Rock called Soap and Water that's just tearing up the Twang Trust charts here. But he's got another new album. It's sort of a secret one. It's his take. It's his song-for-song cover of Waylon Jennings' 1975 album, Dreaming My Dreams. Yes, he's recorded every single song off that record. It's called Dreaming Waylon's Dreams. And that was the final cut right there. Bob Wills is still the king. We just might hear some more from that tonight. Yeah. We just might hear, I don't know, maybe we'll do an all covers night. Seeing as how our special guests are coming in to tell us about a record of sort of covers, sort of, kinda. Although the guy who wrote them all is on there too. Oh, I'll let them explain it to you though. But that's an hour two. We still got like 50 minutes of fun till then. Here's a cover that I wanted to play last week. Had every intention. I was all excited to play it last week and then I forgot it. Oh well. Neil Fest happened last weekend at Times Changed. Were you there? Did you have some Neilness? Well, if you didn't, like me, if you were too lame to go out, then here, this is for you. This song actually took place in this very room that I'm sitting in right now. Back in, oh, I don't know when it was. Earlier this year. Exactly, earlier this year. The Western States. Doing an old number from American Stars and Bars.
Since I've got Chris here, I feel like we should do a Neil Young song.
Is hey, that, okay? That would be fabulous.
Why don't we do Saddle Up the Palomino, Chris?
Sure, man.
The acoustic version. You don't hear it acoustic ever, but we're going to try it. This is from American Stars and Bars, and we'll see. Chris, feel free to sing on this if you want there.
Daughter of the wealthy banker. Since you came to town, all my friends are gone, and I'm stuck out here with Melody. Saddle up the Palomino. The sun is going down. The way I feel, this must be real. There's no reward in your conscience store for sleeping with another man's wife. Saddle up the Palomino, the sun is going down. The way I feel, this must be real.
Winnipeg, this is Kenny Vaughn of the Fabulous Superlatives. The punches are coming fast and hard here on the Twang Trust 95.9 FM. Yeah.
When I was a young
mama said to me, your daddy's leaving home today. I think he's gone to stay. We packed up all our bags and drove out to Winnipeg. Got to Winnipeg. I checked into school. I wore white bucks on my feet. When I learned the golden rule, the punches came fast and hard. Lying on my back in the schoolyard.
Shoot when I get to Orleans blues. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans. I got my suitcase in my hand. Now ain't that a shame? I'm leaving here today. Yes, I'm going back home to stay. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans.
Walking to New Orleans from, who'da thunk it, Mr. Neil Young, from the album Going Home, a tribute to Fats Domino. That was Neil's take on the classic. Our own little Neil Fest there is what that was. 3 days late, what the heck. Alana Lewandowski before that from the Neil Young tribute album Borrowed Tunes 2, fresh out in stores right now. That's the only song you need off the whole thing, two discs worth. That's the only one you need. Don't be denied from that thing. And the Western States before that, who were part of Neil Fest. They didn't do the whole American Stars and Bars album, but they did that song from it right there, Saddle Up the Palomino, here live on the Twang Trust a number of months back. Do you remember that? Yeah. Well, we heard it again, in case you missed it the first time. So there. Hey, guess who's got a new record out? Our old pal, Mr. Corb Lund. It's called Horse Soldier, Horse Soldier. And I've only skimmed the surface of this thing, but it sounds pretty darn fine. I like it a whole lot better than the last one, which I didn't much care for. It's not that it was bad, but it just didn't do much for me. The little bit I've heard off this, I think is great. It sounds like it may well be alongside the classic $5 Bill album. We'll have to see. I know I got an email a while back from Mike Plume telling me that this was going to be one of the two or three albums of the year. And he was real emphatic about it. And I didn't even know it was coming out as soon as it did. Because I got the album about a week after I got Mike's email. And then I see why he was pumping it so hard. He's got points. Yeah, he's co-written a song on this album here. And actually, it's one. I don't know who wrote more of the song. But I do remember hearing Mike sing this one. I guess it would have been years ago, because it's been years since Mike's been around. But I do recall him singing this. It might have been his last show at the Times Changed venue there. It was the big Halloween holiday show. Do you remember that? Were you there? There were a few of us there. But anyway, here it is. Here's the Corb Lent take on this thing from his new album, Soldier Soldier. This is Hard on Equipment, Tool for the Job.
Hey folks, this is Corb Lund. You're listening to Both Kinds of Music on the Twang Trust, CKUW 95.9 FM Winnipeg. Country Animals.
He's been rounding off bolts since the age of 14. Was that a 5/8 or a 9/16? He got a metric socket that don't quite fit. A little wiggle, just a little, but it ain't quite stripped. Safety guard's gone from his grinding machine. He got a stiff paintbrush, he only sorta got clean. He's the hired man, my neighbor, and a cousin-in-law. He's a jerry-rigging fool, he got the tool for the job. Well, it's vice grips for pliers, and pliers for a wrench for a hammer, hammers everything else. It just don't seem to make much difference. I sure do like him, but he's hard on equipment. Corners ain't square and his floor ain't level, and he's had a little trouble with the old tape measure. His doors don't close cause the jam ain't plumb, and he's a goddamn menace with the air nail gun. They love to see him coming at the lumberyard store, fix the leak in his roof with a 2x4, drills holes in the boards with the wrong kind of bit. When they don't line up, he blames the government. Well, it's a vice grip for pliers, and pliers for a wrench for a hammer, hammers everything else. It just don't seem to make much difference. I sure do like him, but he's hard on equipment. Up cars, well, three don't run and the rest won't start. Well, everything's fine with the rebuilt motor, except of course for the couple spare washers left over. Made a twine tie down, going down the road on two ball tires and an oversized load. He ain't never read the manual, cause that's like cheating. He don't mind the grease on his hands while he's eating. Well, it's vice grips for pliers, pliers for a wrench for a hammer, hammers everything else. It just don't seem to make no difference. I sure do like him, but he's hard on equipment. No, it just don't seem to make much difference. I sure like your son, but you're hard on equipment. Up knuckles, his thumb got bruised.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
It was carpenter too.
Hi, folks, this is Mike Bloom, and you're listening to Steel Belted Radio, 95.9 FM, CKUW, Winnipeg.
Started out on the East Coast and I was bound for God knows where, with a worn out copy of On the Road and the wind in my hair, chasing my shadow all the while the sun burnt off the dew. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm looking for you. Across the Appalachians and on down into Tennessee, the I-40 into Nashville and the Grand Ole Opry. Spent the night in Memphis with some friends at the Rendezvous. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm looking for you. Followed the Mississippi all the way to
French Quarter for a plate of rice and beans. It's a town of ghosts and gypsies and jambalaya too. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm looking for you. Said I'm looking for you, babe. Well, I cut across to Austin and I hung out on 6th Street. Hot and sweaty music, cold beer and little sleep. I slept in my car in the parking lot beneath the Texas moon. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm looking for you. I said I'm looking for you, babe. I spent the better part of the next day just crossing that Lone Star State. El Paso, then New Mexico, went on up into Santa Fe. The car broke down outside of town, I had to sit for a day or two. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm looking for you. Said I'm looking for you, babe. Rolled into Colorado, a humming Rocky Mountain. Put the top down on the Eldorado, man, and just enjoyed the ride. Made Cheyenne by nightfall, left the next afternoon. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm looking for you. Said I'm looking for you, babe. Rolled into Montana, but I had to travel alone. Into Alberta like an Ian Tyson song. The wild rose country beneath the sky so blue. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm looking for you. I said I'm looking for you, babe. On the Trans-Canada Highway, well, I crossed the Great Divide. Coquihalla to Vancouver, all along this mystery ride. When I crossed back into Washington, I picked up my first clue. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm looking for you. I said I'm looking for you, babe. From Tacoma to L.A., all the way on 101. Stars outside of Santa Cruz. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm looking for you. I said I'm looking for you. Yeah, I'm looking for you. I said I'm looking for you. Well, this song ain't got no ending, man. Song has just begun. If you spend your time pretending you've won races you ain't run, when all the while all you need was something to ring true. But everywhere I've been, well, I was looking for you. How do you? Yeah.
CKUW is proudly supported by the Fort Garry Brewing Company, your community brewery. Keep it local. Fort Garry.
Hey students, want to take your degree program to new heights? Need a great topic for your term paper, thesis, or a directed readings course? The members of the Sunset Student Group of the UWSA want to give you some real-world experience and apply your research skills to local environmental and social justice issues. Through our experiential learning program, we connect local nonprofit organizations and offices on campus with student researchers from the University of Winnipeg. We help formulate proposals and match your interests to our projects. For a list of current topics, go online to our directory by searching the word Sunset on the University of Winnipeg website. Whether you are a student looking to get hands-on research experience that leads to positive social change, or you have a great idea for a student research project, contact us by email at uwsunset@yahoo.ca or phone 789-1435.
One, I know,
Dustin Bentall from his debut album, Streets With No Lights. We'll be talking about him momentarily. It's minus one in the city at 6:40 p.m. Well, it's not too bad. At least it's not as windy as it has been. Holy moly. I mean, it's still windy out there. They're gusting up to 33 kilometers an hour, but it ain't what it was. Holy moly. What else did we hear in that set? We heard Mike Plume. That's actually the last thing Mike Plume released. It was on a record called Drive Through Volume 2. A bunch of Alberta artists just sort of took over a studio one day, and everybody recorded one song and played on everybody else's songs and had a bunch of fun. And that's the song Mike did, is a little number called Looking For You. Yeah. And before that, a song Mike Plume helped Corb Lund write on his new record, Corb Lund's new album, Horse Soldier. We heard Hard on Equipment from that. Yes, indeed. Mike Plume co-write. So Dustin Bentall, who you were just grooving with there on his fabulous song, Crash Hard, which is, wow, that's one of my favorite songs of the last 10 years for sure. Just a wicked little number. You might even have a ticket to go see Dustin Bentall next week at the West End Cultural Center, but I have news. The show is supposed to be Thursday. It's actually been moved up a day. It's going to happen a week from tonight, Wednesday. It's moved up a day. Dustin Bentall and his band, yes, there will be a full band in tow this time, which is going to be a big treat. Dustin and his outfit will be at the West End Cultural Center on Wednesday, November 21st, instead of November 22nd. And as it turns out, the Dust Poets, Manitoba Boys, were scheduled to play the West End on Wednesday. They're still going to do it. So it's going to be like a big double bill action. Yes, indeed. Dustin going on first. So if you want to see Lil Bentall Jr., if you want to see him and his band rip it up, get to the West End early next Wednesday. So there you go. You've been warned. Ah, speaking of Dustin Bentall, here's another song that he co-wrote. Doing some co-writing things here, all purely by chance. No plans tonight here. We're just doing what we can. But here's a song Dustin Bentall co-wrote. It's on the new Ridley Bent album, Buckles and Boots, apparently in stores. I haven't seen a copy yet, but apparently it is. Although I do know this song we're going to play, you can actually download this for free right now from iTunes. This is the song of the week on iTunes right now. And let me tell you, if you've ever had if your faith in humanity was waning, if you ever doubted about the future of life on this planet, well, you probably don't want to check the comments on iTunes. When you download this free song, you can like leave a comment about it there, and you can read it what everybody else has written, and don't bother reading. It's just depressing. But anyways, this is a phenomenal song, no matter what all those other 12-year-olds think. Damn kids. Look at that. I have two number threes queued up. Which number three do I want? I want the one that's 3 minutes and 58 seconds. Ah, that's what I thought. Here he is. Our hero, Ridley Bent, with a song he wrote with Dustin Bentall. This is the big smasheroo hit. Free download single of the week thing. 9 Inch Nails.
I met her in a record shop. She was into hard rock. We had a wild affair. She moved in and the rent was shared. Yeah, we spent a lot of nights listening to records in the candlelight. If it wasn't for the music, I never would have fallen in love. Well, the breakup was a rough one. She pulled out a shotgun. I talked her down and we worked it out. She got it all in the matching couch. But I still got my records, and now I need a sad song. But wouldn't you know it, the jackets are wrong, and the sad ones are gone. Collection. She got my working man's blues. She got my Tom T. All I got are Husker dues.
Yeah, we got them all mixed up. When we were high on rails, she got my 9-pound hammer, and I got a 9-inch nail. She won't return my phone calls, and I'm running low on alcohol. I drive down to the LCB and pick myself up some Tennessee whiskey. I throw on some black hole song, cause you know I kinda like that one. If it wasn't for the music, I never would've fallen in love. I got a tool collection, she got my working man's blues, she got my Tom T. Hall, I got her Husker Du. Yeah, we got them all mixed up. When we were high on rails, she got my 9-pound hand. Got a 9-inch nail. Don't they all? She's in a band that covers Wolf Mother. I think they call themselves Wolf Lover. And I'm listening to Hell's Bells, and I'm wishing it was Bob Wills. Yeah. If it wasn't for the music, I never would have fallen in love. I got a tool collection, she got my working man's blues, she got my Tom T. Hall, I got her Husker Du. Yeah, we got them all mixed up. When we were high on rails, she got my 9-pound hammer, and I got her 9-inch nail. I got a tool collection, she got my hot rod Lincoln, and my heart won't stop sinking, and I need some songs from drinking. Instead I'm on a crazy train, and I'm going off. Got my 9-pound hammer, I got a 9-inch nail. Yeah, she got my 9-pound hammer, and I got a 9-inch nail.
Bit less chat, bit more action. Are we ready? Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, classic from when? Jeepers, 1984, maybe, I'm thinking. Should have looked that up before I said something. 84, I guessed right. The Del Fuegos from their very first album called The Longest Day. And a little number called Backseat Nothing. I picked up this thing. I actually played it from a disc called The Best of the Del Fuegos that I picked up in Minneapolis when I was there recently. I got home from Minneapolis, and I'm listening to stuff, and sitting around eating lunch one day, and I picked up the latest issue of the Oxford American. It's the big music issue that they do every year. It's always an exciting issue to buy. And then you get a free CD, and there's all kinds of great articles in it. One of the little articles in it was written by former Del Fuego, Warren Zanes. And it's kind of a depressing little article, actually, just about life in the band and how utterly depressing it was being in a band that didn't really, get anywhere at the time, even though they had a good deal of, good press and some notoriety and stuff. But they never really accomplished much, never made any money. And in the article, he mentioned that they never received a single paycheck from Slash Records. They put out three albums on Slash Records, never made a dime from them. Never got a single check beyond an advance at the beginning, I guess, which they bought a van and totaled 3 days later. In the article, they mentioned that this compilation album came out in England, or in Europe, actually. And they had nothing to do with it. They didn't pick the songs. They had nothing to do with it. And, again, they didn't make a single dime off of it. And that's the thing that I bought when I was in Minneapolis. So I felt really guilty ever since. I don't know. But anyways, sounded pretty fine anyhow. What else did we hear in that set? We heard I have no idea. I can't even remember. Did we hear Dustin Bentall? We did. We did hear Dustin Bentall. Well, that was earlier. I don't know what we heard in that set. We heard we heard Ridley Bent. That's what we did. We heard Ridley Bent and Nine Inch Nails and stuff. And our special guest just walked in the room. Holy moly. Hey, special guests. Come on in. Look at that. It's Rami Mays, folks. Let's turn on some microphones and everybody can talk. We got Jackson Haldane. We got Rami Mays. And we got Lil Mays. Let's see. Now everybody's mic is on. There we go.
All right. Hi, Stu.
Hey, kids.
Hey, Stu.
So you've got you came by to talk about this very exciting thing coming up. Is it Friday?
It's Saturday.
Saturday. That's it. And it's sitting in my little bin here. Let me pull it out. It's called Beverly Street.
That it is, after the street that I live on.
Wow.
All the tomfoolery and
That's where it all happened. So it was a neat, fun couple days. We did this recording of a bunch of us learning songs on the spot, and then at the end of it, David Essig, whose songs we had been recording all week, all the couple of days, came to the session the second day with this song he'd written basically on the walk home to where he was staying, and it was this little funny little song that, not very funny at all, very, very awesome. dark and excellent song that captured a lot of nuances of living in our neighborhood. So
yeah, so this is going to be the new Winnipeg icon, Beverly Street. Now it'll be Beverly Street 50 Below.
It's been sort of like that for all of us, just underground. No one's known about it on mass scale.
And he's dissing River Heights in there.
He does.
There is, yeah, a little. That's where he was actually staying, I think, was in River Heights.
Oh, yeah.
it must have seemed like a million miles away on that cold January walk.
February, I guess.
Or whatever it was.
But it's a great-sounding record, for sure. Wow.
Yeah.
There's another one of those Jackson magic productions that happen in his house. How many are you on now? Like six or seven that are like, or more?
More, yeah.
Yeah.
Like over a dozen.
And it's all Dollar Tone?
Yeah, most of the stuff I do at the house ends up on the Dollar Tone label.
But Beverland.
Yeah, we call it Beverland. That's true. And this one was fun. It was it was kind of an idea that we cooked up a long time ago with David Essig when we first got to know him at festivals, and something we'd always wanted to do, at least individually, the Derangers had always wanted to do something with David Essig, because he's been a big influence on all of us, I think, as folk musicians, for sure. He's definitely towards the edgy end of the spectrum as far as Canadian folk artists go, so I think we always looked up to him a little bit. And the opportunity to do this, just Rami sealed the deal when she met Dave, because they sort of started talking the same thing, and then it was like, wow, come on,
yeah,
let's just get this done.
Then. Too. And yeah, and he was just like, I've always wanted to do this project with the Derangers, and then next thing you knew, it was the Derangers and myself, and it's a total honor to be asked to represent someone's material, you know, when someone says, I want you guys to sing my songs.
Yeah.
You know, so it was really...
It was a... Yeah, it was...
Really great that it actually worked out, because even the intention that he had was pretty cool, but that it actually panned out.
And it's nice because there's going to be a lot of folks who I'm sure are fans of yours who've never heard of David Essig before.
And probably likewise the other way. You know, he's got a fan base that... And that was part of the whole process, too. It's like, let's do this, we'll have a bunch of fun, we'll expose each other to our different audiences. And yeah, you know, I think if us bringing him to a younger generation does anything to heighten his status as a Canadian icon, all the better, because he really deserves whatever cred comes his way. He's been working a long time, and he's been a part of so many what I feel to be great albums, you know, Willie P. Bennett and Fred Eagle Smith back in the days, and I just really, really happy to be able to do this. And it was really nice to do very lo-fi like we did Rami's first record, to just capture it with the sound of the room, not get into miking everything. And
I think at one point we were thinking of calling it a Living Room Sessions Volume 2.
Yeah. It definitely was discussed, because it was really the same approach and the same sort of spirit behind it all, too.
Really
very
spontaneous.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds fabulous. Yeah. I myself wasn't all that familiar with David Essig. I mean, you know, people say, oh, you do this radio show every week, you know so much about music. It's like, I have 12 records and 8 of them are Springsteen. I don't know anything. But his name is something that I've always seen his name. I mean, he's always somebody you see in a workshop at the folk festival, and he's always with some...
Yeah.
He's somebody you'd come across, and I had no idea what it was, but I'd go there to see somebody else, and he'd be there, and he'd steal the show. And then I'd forget about him until 2 years later, when the exact same thing would happen again. And it's like, oh, there's that guy. I remember him.
This one show I did with David out, Thetis Island is where I think he lives. So I think Chimanis. I think I did a show with him in Chimanis shortly after we'd met the first time. We decided to do a show together, and I was with Dan Walsh then, and... David's show, he just played a solo show, was so thoroughly... It was like the Marty Green of Yiddish, like, was David Essig's, like, historical story. Like, I don't know, the way he explained his songs and would tell you stories in between them, it was, mm-hmm. like, the most phenomenal show I had seen in so long. It was just really, it was a story. The whole thing was one big story, and it would just, like, lead to the next song, and... He's just amazing. So
he was
really cool to have him.
He was that way when he produced the album, too. Like, when he would be... He was the central figure in the whole thing, but he's kind of most in the background, in a way, on the album.
Mm-hmm.
Like, besides his harmonies and his occasional lead singing, the rest of his playing is so laid back, and he's so in the background. And
he was really generous.
He was the one, though, really in the middle, and he would... When he was teaching us the songs, as much as teaching us the chords and the melody and the lyrics, he'd be teaching us the imagery and
the history
of the song, so that you'd have like this emotion to attach yourself to while playing, you know. And he was really good at that. He chose some powerful songs and then told us these powerful stories
right.
before we'd record them, and I think it added a lot to the just emotional quality of the performances, for sure.
And he's a real virtuoso too on guitar. I mean, his last record was an instrumental album, wasn't it?
Yeah, his last it was a sort of a historical a timepiece of guitar. Guitar Works, I think. It was a really neat record, all gospel guitar stuff, and we've done different styles from different eras and on different guitars to sort of approximate the sound or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's a really amazing musician, player on the guitar, on the
songs,
mandolin.
Though, to me, that they just, I didn't even like when I saw that show that I met him at and then did the show with him, I didn't really grab how phenomenal his songs were. I just knew that I liked it, you know. But, you know, getting to learn them and be part of them, it's really something. But the cool thing was how it was sort of set up. Like, I had Dan Walsh and Chris Carmichael and Scott Nolan for some of it as my group, and then the Derangers were another group, so he'd kind of go back and forth. Like, he'd teach the Derangers a song, and, you know, the guys are starting to play guitar a bit and figure out Jackson's writing the lyrics while we take a break, you know? Mm. And then they'd record, get the take they wanted after a few, and then he'd switch over to us and start doing that, right? So it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
So after this show at the West End on Saturday night, are you going to be taking it anywhere else as a group effort?
We'd really like to. Everybody's got, you know, their objectives in their own and their own directions as individual acts, but I think the real ideal thing would be for festivals that were already thinking about hiring any one of the three of us. Mm. Maybe they would think about hiring the other two, or we're hoping that, you know, it'll just appeal to some festival directors that want to have it so bad they'll hire
lots of individual acts. It's a built-in workshop.
Yeah, it is, and the workshop element, I talk a lot about it in the liner notes, and I think that was that's ultimately what is going on in this recording, is that you're listening to the same process that happens on a afternoon stage at a folk festival when you've got a bunch of people who aren't rehearsed with each other but have this common influence and this desire to play together, and it's just that spontaneous creation of music. The same
and it
thing
will
that
be equally as spontaneous
workshop.
On Saturday, because none of us have gotten together and played them once since. So, so I think we might run a rehearsal tomorrow, and maybe with David, but it's going to be pretty spontaneous as well for Saturday. So that essence will still be there. Like, we haven't really worn these songs out by any means.
No, exactly.
Great. Well, let's hear something from it. What should we play? What do you want to initiate folks into with this?
If we're going to pick the first tune, High Ground is one of the only two on the record where we had everybody sort of playing together.
Right.
And that's a neat one. And David is actually singing the lead on that, which is another rare piece. And it's just got a real neat...
the harmonies are wobbly and everything, but it's wicked.
Yeah, it's
so fun.
Well, here's everybody from on the Beverly Street Sessions, when you can hear them live this Saturday at the West End Cultural Center.
The house smelled like death, and Daddy just walked in. He's got liquor on his breath. He said, "Your mama's in the hospital. I think she's gonna die. Got the doctor standing round her, son. Nobody's saying why." And it ain't love that brings me back to the shore. Something that I've never found. It ain't love that brings me back to these shores. Oh, the past is rising fast, and I'm searching for my ground.
We were brought up in the closet by my father's maiden aunt, love a Bible more than she could ever love a man. She taught us sex is nasty, and she taught us not to feel. And her heart was like a razor, and her mind was made of steel. And it ain't love that brings me back to these shows. It's just something that I
rising fast, and I'm searching for my ground.
Pick it, boys.
Sister is a hairdresser out in Charlottetown, where my brother's got a factory job pushing empty crates around. And I'm out in Toronto on the wrong side of the street, got those empty piles around me and the red clay on my feet. And it ain't
Hey, welcome back to the Twang Trust, folks. That was a cut off Beverly Street, a fabulous new record being released officially this Saturday at the West End Cultural Center, featuring David Essig, who wrote all the songs, including that one, High Ground, backed up by none other than our special guest, Rami Mays, and the D-Rangers, Jackson, sitting in the Twang Trust seat. So who picked all the songs to do off this? I mean, David's got like hundreds, I'm sure.
He does. He has lots and lots.
Didn't he
sent us sort of a short list of ones that he was thinking might work in these certain situations, and the D Rangers also had a bit of a short list of tunes that we wanted to do.
And he said too, like, if there's anything that you've picked that you want to do that isn't on the list, like, let me know. You know.
So yeah, between his suggestions and our suggestions, we just kind of came to a real easy, very organic kind of decision on it. Like, I don't even remember. I don't think anything was decided beforehand. We just took a song at a time. And then by the end of 2 days, we were like, hey,
I think we've done an album.
10 cuts.
Wow.
I think we're done.
That's wild.
It was
just 2 days?
Yeah.
It was just two consecutive days. He came, last time he played in Winnipeg, I think he did a folk exchange gig, and then spent 2 days just with a box of wine and some Chinese food. And
yeah, and the cool thing about Scott Nolan being a part of it at all, too, was he was just dropping us off. I think he was dropping me and Dan or maybe off or something, and we were like, well, you should come in, man. Nothing's, like, planned. We don't have any major plans of what we're going to do, what we're going to record. There's no instrumentation planned or, you know, just come on in. So he came in and grabbed the upright, which was kind of cool, and played some upright on some songs. So
who all's going to be there Saturday night?
We've got everybody who was there except for Dan Walsh. Yeah. And we couldn't have Dan, him, and Brock Zeman. Or
they're probably in Tuk-Tuk or some crazy place.
They've been touring like Texas
or something like that, I think. They're in the state somewhere, I think. But they've just been, yeah, their schedule's so crazy. I looked at their calendar when they were here last time. And
yeah, they're always somewhere. It's incredible.
It's
crazy.
It's a lot of Canada, but now they're south. So that's kind of cool, I guess. I don't think Brock had spent too much time south, so that's probably exciting for him.
Oh, it's good for them. I mean, the bigger the market they can expose them to, themselves to, the better it'll be.
Like, I tour a lot, but it seems to me like they just tour every day, all year long.
Yeah.
It looks that way. I know. Yeah. It looked like that when I looked at their book, too. Yeah. It was just like.
But so, incredible. Yeah, so I guess he's too busy. He doesn't like us anymore anyway. He writes mean letters.
Uh-oh.
I'm just
not
kidding.
To me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's me.
Well, that's because you go to fancy places like Europe now.
Yeah.
You just got back, didn't you?
I did.
How was that?
Oh, man. Too much. It's too cool.
So when you're over there, like, is it just crazy going from gig to gig, or are you able to actually appreciate where you
are? Days are long out there, you know. I don't know what was going on, but it felt like, you know, after a few days of even being there, it felt like I was there for a couple weeks already. Like, days are just long, and you wake up, and especially in Italy, because like lunchtime is your pocket is 12 to 2. Like, you're either eating or you're not for the rest of the day, pretty much. And so, you know, your day starts fairly early. And it's just, there's lots to see. And, you know, even the drives between gigs, like a couple hours or a few hours, it's just amazing. You get to see a lot that way. Plus, like, I always had a driver or someone with me, so they would always be explaining and teaching me things. And I teach them English, and they teach me Italian or German or Swedish and stuff like that.
What's your favorite foreign word?
I don't know why, but in Italy, this is the thing. When I first get off the plane, you know, I mean, or into the new place, whatever, right? I'd ask them how to say hello, how to say goodbye, how to say cheers, and I wanted to know the pot laws, like, immediately. because I just, you know, I don't know my rights, you know? I wanted to know my rights.
You gotta know.
You know, somebody hands you a joint, you want to know if you should smoke it, you know? It's a fair question. I've seen Midnight Express.
Absolutely.
So, one of the funny things was that when I got to Sweden and I said, so how do you say, you know, goodbye? How do you say cheers? Cheers is skull, which is kind of cool. But and how do you say hello is hey.
Hey?
It's hey. So that was kind of cool. I got to go hey to everybody and felt like I was normal, you know. But yeah, there were tons of great words. In Italian, I took with me 3 books for Italy because I spent the most time in Italy. One was just a little English-Italian dictionary. One was, you know, how to get around Italy or something, just like a, you know, common phrases. And my mother bought me this, no less, Dirty Italian. So that was, I mean, those are where my favorite words are, really, but I can't say any of them.
You said before you left that you were thinking about doing a little bit in your act where you just pretended as if you knew how to speak Italian and just strung a bunch of these dirty phrases together. Right. Did you actually do that?
Well, I sort of did that a little bit, actually. There were a couple of places where, because of the communication was difficult for me and I just wanted to get across like a term of banter in some way, you know? So, you know, at the places where I could tell I had them and we were having a good time, I would just go, un momento. And I'd like grab the dirty time book, just read something. Just be like, and then like say something like totally crass and they'd love it. So.
Yeah, well, the essence of your show is profanity in English. So if you can get that across in other countries, then they got the essence of it. Right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was something else though. Yeah. When I got back, I was telling Jackson, like, it's totally accessible. Like, I just hooked up with promoters there. It's not, you know, like, wow, she must be doing so well in her career. She's over in Europe. It's just some dudes that liked my music that said, hey, we'll book some shows for you. Just like if they came here, we'd do the same for them, you know? And so it's totally accessible. And I came back expense-free and in the black. So I just want, you know, my friends to go do it with me now.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, you're at Times tomorrow night, aren't you?
Yeah, it's like just a low-key song swap. Just hanging out with Adrian Sala and Vincent Drushko and Rob Vermeer, and we're gonna just, I think we might add a couple people to it if people want some friends of ours, you know, I think, because we might want to do 2 sets, so maybe something you want to think about for tomorrow night, maybe add Jackson on, and we were thinking about maybe adding Josie Cron, and then just a couple sets of just songs, just songwriting, hanging out.
Groovy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, besides the big Beverly Street thing, Jackson's got something real exciting coming up with Mitch Podolak. We got to talk about this thing. This is crazy. Jackson Haldane versus Mitch Podolak. Head-to-head barbecue, banjo competition, and poetry slam.
What's this poetry slam part? I don't know.
I want to know more about the barbecue myself.
We are actually doing two sides of ribs each with bellies attached. One will be Berkshire pork, the other will be just your standard agricultural fare pig. And Ashley May says that's gross. We'll be doing one of each, and with our own special rub and our own special dipping sauce. And
aren't there judges?
I think maybe a side. There will be a panel of
female judges.
Three judges, I believe.
I heard that it was all female.
I think it is.
I want to be a judge.
Well, maybe you should talk to Jason Andrich, the guy who's organizing it.
Do you get paid? No, just kidding.
In ribs.
In ribs, yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to... The judges will decide about the best ribs, and then the audience will decide about the banjo picking and the poetry.
Wow. So, well, that sounds like a hoot. November 22nd.
And that's a good thing that Dustin Bentall's show was moved to the
21st. Yeah.
Because now he can come to both, or everyone can go to everybody's.
Yeah, and the Poor Choices and the Undesirables, which will be great. I don't know how many folks in Winnipeg are familiar with the Undesirables, but they're a really awesome kind of modern folk band.
It's almost gospel.
It is kind
like
of.
Like, they have a great, it's Corn Raymond, and he's come without Sean, his cohort. In Undesirables, but it's their harmonies are just insane, and it's just Sean just plays guitar and sings, and back up to Corin, who just sings, just has a microphone and sings, and it's really unique, and it's really good songwriting, but the harmonies are just insane. That's the thing that just gets you.
Well, this sounds like a hoot. It's November 22nd at the Franco-Manitoban Cultural Center, and wow. So, Do you have your, now the poetry, is this of your own composition, or are you going to do yeats or something?
No, it's going to be in what I understand is traditional slam fashion, which means that we'll get a short period of time to prepare after we've been given a random theme and perhaps some words and or phrases that have to be incorporated into the poem. So this will be very interesting. It means I'll have probably 5 to 3 minutes to write some sort of poetry, which, you know, could be definitely a train wreck. But we'll see what happens.
So where did the spark for this come from?
Probably who from came Mitch's up with crazy this? Brain, right?
I think, yeah, Mitch and Jason Andrich cooked this one up together.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah, minimum donation of $15. Donations over $25 will be issued a tax receipt at the show. Yeah, it sounds like fun. Tickets you can get at Organza, McNally Robinson, or Organic Planet.
Yep, Loco for Local.
That's what it's called, yeah. Barbecue, banjo, and poetry all in one night. That's with live music and dancing. And
what if no one dances?
Hmm.
Then that's a complete false poster.
Maybe there should be, then Mitch and Jackson will get up and dance. And
then someone has to jig.
A fourth competition.
head-to-head jigging. That's awesome.
But before that, you get to hang out with another old guy. It's all old guys, huh? That's the new thing.
It's the new thing. It's so 2007.
I'm an old man at heart. Anyway, all my friends tell me that, so it must be true. Maybe that's why I like.
60 is the new 21, or vice versa. But yes, David Essig, D Rangers, and Rami Mays this Saturday at the West End Cultural Center, the big release for the exciting new Dollar Tone Records production of Beverly Street. So thanks for coming down,
thanks
guys.
For having
thanks
us,
so
dude.
Much, buddy.
This is going to be very exciting.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, we better hear the title track, which is just a classic. This is the one new composition on the record. And then we're going to hear Redbird Country, which is the coolest jam I've heard in ages.
All right.
It does go crazy.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you Saturday, folks.
All right, on. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks, Steve.
There's a hooker on the corner who says she's my best friend. That could be true. Who really knew where talk like that could end? But she's heaven's little chicken when she knocks me off my feet, saying slapping face ain't got no place on Beverly Street. There's a Chinese girl from Hong Kong who rents the second floor, and she lives on instant noodles, and she always locks her door. She sits on her little kisser while she works on her degree, saying rude white boys make too much noise on Beverly Street. And I say, yeah, well, Shanghua, you got a point there. But I like a place where people take it one day at a time. It's a million miles from River Heights, and man, that suits me fine. And you won't find no fancy doctor's wife come ripping up your sheets, 'cause love is raw, and that's the law on Beverly Street. So just slip around the back way, you know the door is never locked. Kick your boots off in the kitchen, we'll put on another pot of that good shit from DeLuca's. Make it rich and black and sweet, 'cause it's sink or swim when the crank kicks in on Beverly Street. And I like a place where people take it one day at a time. It's a million miles from River Heights, and man, that suits me fine. And you won't find no fancy doctor's wife come ripping up your sheets, 'cause love is raw, and that's the law on Beverly Street. So come here, you little chicken, and play me another song. Just rub my back and tell me how you like it deep and long. 'Cause I need your lies and your vodka breath to blow me off my feet. And quick and fast is still worth cash on Beverly Street. Yes, I need your lies and your vodka breath to blow me off to sleep. And quick and fast is still worth cash on Beverly Street. Yeah, quick and fast is still worth cash on Beverly Street.
Yeah.
said she's gonna get me back for the rough times that we had. Second woman, she was dressed in red like a Thursday morning steak. Told me there was trouble in the things that we could make. And I said, oh, oh, when I'm gone, mama gonna take me where the river flows. Says you're gonna get me back for the rough times every day. I told her that the rough times were a lot of things to do. About a half of that come from me, half of that come from you. She said, oh, left with all of us dead. One thing you can do, tell your friends, your neighbors, your mama and your papa and your dad too. Up here on the Redbird Country, things get rough on you. And I said, whoa, whoa, when I'm gone, mama gonna take me where the Redbird flows. Whoa, whoa,
this is Jackson Haldane. You're downtown and underground with the Twang Trust on CKUW 95.9 FM.
Oh, you can feel the warmth in that room, can't you? Oh, my goodness. A little number called Redbird Country from David Essig, Rami Mays, and the Derangers. Beverly Street is the name of the album, and the official release date for that is this Saturday at the West End Cultural Center. All those folks will be there to partake in the performing of all this stuff again. And it's going to be a hoot and a half. It's not even worth talking about how much it is to get in. It's like $10 or some crazy non-existent thing. There's no reason not to go this Saturday at the West End. David Essig, Rami Mays, and the Derangers. Mm. We also heard the title track before that, Beverly Street. Wow. Very groovy. Very groovy. This is such an exciting project. Came out of nowhere. Like, both those folks, you know, still grooving on their last records. Didn't think they were due anything anytime soon. And then this thing comes out. Crazy. Saturday to West End is the place to be, for sure. Thanks so much for Jackson and Rami coming down tonight. What a treat. What a treat. Let's go back to this Waylon Jennings thing again. Chuck Prophet. If you want to believe the story that Chuck is throwing about, the story is that he and his band went in to do a bit of recording in a studio belonging to a friend of his a while back. I believe it was in San Francisco. And they did a little bit of recording, and the guy who owned it, well, at some point he ducked out for a while and, you know, closed up shop and such. And just sort of forgot about the fact that he, you know, there was no way to get in or out without him there. And he, like, took off for a few days. So Chuck and his band were actually locked inside the studio for a good 2 days. And while they were there, the only record that was actually in the studio was a copy of Waylon Jennings' 1975 album, Dreaming My Dreams, which had always been one of Chuck's favorite records. And because they had absolutely nothing better to do over the course of a couple of days, they decided to re-record the whole album. It's a good story. I don't know if it's true. It's too good a story to be true. So I don't know. I don't know. Whether you want to believe him or not, I don't know. But it's a good story, and it's an even better record. And here is the classic lead-off track to Dreaming My Dreams. This from Dreaming Waylon's Dreams. And it's hard to get this thing. Chuck was selling them at shows, and he ran out. It's a little rinky-dink label that's put it out, and I believe I don't even know if you can get it from them anymore or not. You're going to have to rely on the kindness of strangers to track this thing down, I think. But I'm pretty kind. Here's Chuck Prophet. And are you sure Hank done it this way?
It's the same old tune, fiddle and guitar. Where do we take it from here? Rhinestone suits and new shiny cars. It's been the same way for years. We need a change. Somebody told me when I came to Nashville, son, you finally got it made. Done it this way. No, I don't think Hank ever done it this way. No. Ten years down the road, making one night stands, speeding my young life away. Tell me one more time, just so I understand. Are you sure Hank done it this way? Did old Hank really do it this way?
anybody, anybody know?
Winnipeg, this is Marty Stewart, and you're listening to the 707 Roger Miller Break on the Twang Trust CKUW 95.9 FM.
I've been a fool. I've been a fool. Forgiving you each time you done me wrong. Been a long time leaving, be a long time gone. I love you so much. I love you so much. When I should have moved along. Been a long time leaving. I'll be a
long time gone. Hello, high life. Hello, highway. Here come a big old semi my way. Stick up my thumb, hear the truck come. Trees going by, looking like a fly on my big leg from a Levi's. I've been a fool. I've been a fool. Forgiving you each time that you done me wrong. Been a long time leaving, I'll be a long time gone. I said I've been a long time leaving, I'll be a long time gone. Long time leaving, be a long time gone. Been a long time leaving, be a long time gone. Been a long time leaving, be a long time gone. Something wrong. Let's do something stupid. Something we'll regret tonight. Anything but the same old nonsense. Anything but the same old grind. Well, I once loved a girl. She wouldn't love me. I loved her hard and I loved her true. She only lives up the hill above me. What in the world can a poor boy do? We'll be right back.
acting stupid.
Sort of, almost kind of, music from Mr. Graham Parsons and the Flying Burrito Brothers, live at the Avalon Ballroom, 1969. Two-disc set of recently unearthed stuff going back a ways for Graham and the Boys. That was the old Mel Tillis number, Sweet Mental Revenge. Yes, indeed. And before that was a bit of a Chuck Prophet-a-palooza there. We heard a couple of songs from his other new record at the top of the set, Dreaming Waylon's Dreams, his remake of the 1975 Waylon Jennings album, Dreaming My Dreams. We heard Are You Sure Hank Done It This Way? And the old Roger Miller chestnut, I've Been a Long Time Leaving, But I'll Be a Long Time Gone. And then something from his other new record, Soap and Water. We heard Let's Do Something Wrong, Let's Do Something Stupid. And this ain't stupid at all. We're going to go out with another track from Beverly Street. The fine, fine new Dollar Tone Records release that gets its release this Saturday at the West End Cultural Center. Yes, and all the folks who performed on this thing going to be there. David Essig, who wrote all the songs. Classic Canadian folk dude. If you don't know him, you're about to find out about him, and there's a long history there for you to dig into. Quite exciting. Rami Mays, of course, and D-Rangers, featuring Jackson Haldane. Rami and Jackson were in a little earlier. Hope you caught that. Lots of fun chatting with those folks. And let's see, which one are we going to go out with? How about this one? Jackson goes crazy on this one. Here's an old... Let's see. Yes, well, it's not all that old a song. It's actually David Essig wrote this one in 2000 while he was on Thetis Island in BC. Is it Thetis? We'll say it is. Anyways, here he is, Jackson Haldane, ripping it up on David Essig's Declaration Day from the Beverly Street record, which you gonna go down and buy when you go to the big show Saturday night at the West End. So we'll see you then. We'll see you back here next week at this time. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know if our old pal H is going to be back. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll come down. Maybe we'll do that another time. But be prepared. Could be big fun next week. It'll be big fun, whatever it is. Won't it? Yeah. Okay. See you, kids. Thanks for sticking around.
Killing, hang down.